This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Marisha Malcolm, and I'm joined by the fabulous Abigail Franks. The Gullah Geechee Nation, a coastal nation of numerous African ethnic groups and indigenous Americans, exists from Jacksonville, North Carolina to Jacksonville, Florida, is proudly working to preserve their culture and their home as the climate crisis, sea level rise, and land loss continues to impact their communities. Today, we are honored to speak to the head of state and chief S, Queen Quet Marquetta L. Goodwin, and the importance of ancestral and indigenous ecological knowledge and their role in adapting to the climate crisis.
Climate justice, y'all. It's real, it's here, and it's about time we uplift and listen to folks like Queen Quet. All right, let's get started with the show.
This is Climate Justice, Y'all, a podcast dedicated to lifting up and centering the climate and environmental justice movement in the South. Despite the South being the most biodiverse, diverse, and one of the largest economic engines in the world, we are underfunded and often barred from the decision-making table. Because of that, we decided to pull up a chair and amplify the stories of communities in the South that are hit the hardest by the climate crisis.
We're using good old-fashioned storytelling to shine a spotlight on these Southern leaders from all walks of life, putting in their blood, sweat, and tears to transform the region. The usage of y'all in the title is on purpose. We are honoring our Southern heritage of creativity, resilience, and ingenuity. Climate justice, y'all. It's real, it's here, and it's about time. Y'all hear what we have to say.
Perfect, perfect. Well, good morning, Queen Quet. Good morning, Marisha. Thank you so much for being here today. If you could actually introduce yourself, where are you calling in from? And if you could tell us about the Gullah Geechee Nation and the Sea Islands, that would be awesome.
But peace and blessings, I gladly for dear with Hona Chillin and thing like that. I had a Queen Quet head from the body of the Gullah Geechee Nation, with dear right Chinese, just Sea Islands and thing in the Atlantic Ocean. Plenty of people know Yeti, we the Crack, we teach so and thing like that. So most of your listeners have probably heard this language instead of our language, which is the Gullah language that we speak here on the Sea Islands from Jacksonville, North Carolina to Jacksonville, Florida, and then 30 to 35 miles inland to the mainland to a river called the St. John's River. This is the Gullah Geechee Nation, and we so glad for the Polynesia Island and thing like that.
So this isn't my first time meeting you, Queen Quet, so I just want to give you your flowers while you're here. I watch your movement all throughout social media, and when I can catch you any other time, I adore you and all of the work that you do. So I just want to give you your props, your flowers while you're here with us today.
Thank you.
But let's continue.
Oh,
you're so welcome. Let's continue.
Let me say this. That shows me that your daddy raised you right. I know your daddy too. We out here doing a lot of work together. So tell him I appreciate him for raising you right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I would pass the word along. Okay, so today's episode is about ancestral and indigenous ecological knowledge. The Gullah Geechee Nation comprises folks from numerous African ethnic groups and indigenous Americans. At least that's what the website says. You can confirm that. Can you please tell us more about your nation's ancestral and cultural relationships to the land and seas, and how is that today?
Well, not only ancestral relationships to the land and sea, but even our current relationships to the land and sea that comes from the ancestral relationship. We have not given up that relationship because we literally live in the ocean. And on one side of our sea islands, you'll find the Atlantic Ocean and the intercoastal waterway. And then on other sides, you will find estuaries, tributaries, rivers, creeks. These things all come into one another. And in many places, we have basins that they come into. And so our Gullah Geechee Nation is like a cultural heritage basin that people can come into and wash themselves and refresh themselves and renew themselves, because we still hold on to a lot of traditions that came from our indigenous ancestors, such as the Yamasee, the Adisto, the Cree that were already here, the Kusabo that were on these sea islands before the Igbo, Mandinka, Malinke, Yoruba, Gola, Gizi, Mende, Temne, Fiki, Bibio, and the numerous other African ethnic groups were kidnapped and then brought over to be enslaved on these islands. And then they intermarried or they lived together in communities. And many times people don't realize when they hear Afro-Seminole or Black Seminole that those are Gullah Geechee people that left from this coast and then ended up down in Florida, ended up in the Bahamas, ended up out in Texas, and also in Mexico. And so we also have Muscogee. And if you go even to Trinidad, you will find they're called Americans there. But these are all part of the Gullah Geechee diaspora. And everywhere where we are, the people still are very rooted and connected to agriculture, and where they are not landlocked, they continue our traditions of harvesting also from the water bodies that are around. And we see the water and the land as sacred, the waterway that we bloodline and things like that, and the land that we family.
Wow. So it really does sound like that the land, the sea, y'all, that is, I mean, that's part of who y'all are. Is
yes, it is.
What I'm yes, hearing. It is. Mm-hmm. And no matter where the Gullah Geechee people are when it comes to, you know, the coastline, like at least y'all have that in common and y'all have that tied together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's why we fight so hard for it. People come to our area a lot for tourism because of the ocean, right? People want to get to the beach and then they want to bypass the cultural heritage simply to get out and do recreational things. And we have to often point out to them that this is a spiritual place for us, as well as a place that not only sustains you spiritually, but physically. And that's why it's so important that we protect these waterways and make sure that the water and the land are healed and whole.
Wow. I mean, what's crazy to me too, and I'm going to sound really, really ignorant right now, and so please forgive me, but I didn't know about the Gullah Geechee Nation until probably the past couple of years, like being in this movement space. And so I'm almost kind of shocked by not knowing about it until recently, just because this is, you know, and so again, I just want to reiterate, thank you so much for being here and discussing this. And it sounds like because y'all are so deeply tied and in relationship with the land and sea, it seems like especially that climate change is directly impacting y'all's nation.
Absolutely.
Could you speak about like what challenges you're facing and what solutions you and others are pushing for?
Definitely. One of the things that has gone on in this movement, as you outlined it, has been ignoring the natives, because they said that we were just quote unquote emotional natives. Not that we were educated, not that we were informed, not that we came from what is now being somewhat honored is traditional ecological knowledge. So meaning indigenous people have the knowledge of their very environments, because we're the ones who sustained this environment. We created a cultural heritage landscape on these sea islands. So we know the nuances of what was here when we were born and as we grew up versus what we're seeing now. And so, yes, when scientists, I'm a scientist as well, I'm a computer scientist and mathematician, so I can talk about us. Scientists tend to speak in techno speak. So we use terminology that other scientists may grasp, but not the general population, right? And some people do that just because it's intellectually stimulating for them, and a lot of it is ego. So that's not going to help us when the basic thing is that we need the world to grasp that this is an Anthropocene situation we're in when we talk about climate change. And there are impacts that some of us saw long before the terminology climate change came into existence. But they wouldn't listen to us, you see, because we were the natives, not classifying ourselves as the scientists. So when we're saying, wait a minute, along the shoreline, our forests, which are maritime forests, are laying down. Forests aren't supposed to lay down. Okay, these are not, you know, horses or things like that. They don't go lay down.
You said the forests are laying down?
The forests are laying down. We're saying this to politicians and whatever. We're saying the trees are dying out. They're laying down instead of standing up. What's going on? This is not the result of a hurricane, because we're also in a hurricane zone and it's now hurricane season and the season's gotten longer, but that's not what it was. This was when it was not hurricane season. We were starting to see this massive proliferation of what came to be known as ghost forests. And we're saying something is wrong. And so, then slowly the scientists who would listen and started to study what we were saying would say, oh, it's because of saltwater inundation. Well, wait a minute. Why is saltwater so far inland now? It shouldn't be, because it should be stopped by the salt marsh. Well, a lot of our salt marsh got damaged because of overbuilding, people building docks and things out and building houses out and onto the shoreline and into the areas that are part of our fisheries. So now we didn't have what would naturally be a buffer to hold back some of the water, and that naturally helps us with flooding as well as helps with cleansing runoff from pavement and buildings and our, you know, emissions and all of that. Naturally, it's gone because these folks have built there for tourism purposes, back to the recreation, or for, you know, gated areas and other things. We never build like that. We build inland. We build away from water and we go to the water because we see it as sacred. So now they say, well, you know, the reason you're seeing what you're seeing and the coast is eroding and the trees are falling is because of sea level rise. Well, we're islanders. So we're like, yes, the sea rises every day and it goes down every day. It's high tide and low tide. And then they're looking at us like, and we're looking at them like, what? You know, we're not communicating. And so that was sort of a bad PR to call it sea level rise and then start talking to islanders with that terminology. And then we had to gradually meet in the middle and understand that what they were talking about is that the levels of the ocean and the levels of our rivers and creeks were, our high tides were higher than they'd ever been in history before. And that was part of why we were losing more of the shoreline more rapidly, along with all these things that human beings were doing. And now, because of a lot of things that human beings were doing, we are now learning that we're not only having sea level rise issues, flooding issues, more intense hurricanes, but we are also dealing with ocean acidification. So now you're talking about threatening food security as well as just threatening our overall way of life, our quality of life, and our cultural heritage. Because if you don't have the coast and you don't have the sea islands, you don't have Gullah Geechee culture. And so we've come up with our own solutions because we recognize that others didn't value that we had intellectual capacity and that we had the ability to do our own work scientifically and in sociological arenas, anthropological arenas. We can do all of that. We're writers as well. We're scientists as well. We're descendants of Africans who are all these things. So why would we not also be these things? It's just that we don't necessarily couch it or write it and present it in the linear way that the Western world does. Our community is about circular living and communal living. It's not about the individual doing something. So how do we as a collective find a way to heal? So one of the things that I'm continuing to work on now that we started in the height of the pandemic is called Greening Gullah Geechee Community. And that is to educate my community more and build capacity for green infrastructure as opposed to gray or built infrastructure like riprap and seawalls, but to have more salt marsh put back, have living shorelines put back, have oyster beds put back outside of those, and go back to the natural way that our coast was, because that will help us with all of these different issues, and God willing, will help us reverse the acidification of the ocean as well. So the Greening Gullah Geechee Communities is started here on St. Helena Island, where I'm a native of, and then we're using St. Helena as a model because it is the epicenter of Gullah Geechee culture. And so we still have a rural Sea Island where we live our traditions here from the land and the sea. And then we want to model it north and south of us to both Jacksonville's on all the Sea Islands to make them more resilient and so that people can sustain our cultural community and sustain our coast. And it's important that the barrier islands that are the Sea Islands are sustained, because without us, the rest of America is not protected. Mainland America is protected because of the barrier islands called the Sea Islands.
Wow. Sorry, I'm processing everything that you're saying. Your community has known about these issues for a long time. I'm going to regurgitate a lot that I've heard. Your communication, or your community has heard a lot or has known about these issues and the solutions for a very, very long time. And Western folks are finally understanding or getting to the point. I mean, they've ignored your knowledge for a while, but finally getting to the point that, yes, y'all have the solutions and y'all have been implementing this for several years now, is what I'm hearing, right?
That's correct. You're right.
That's phenomenal. And sorry, Marisha, you go ahead.
Okay, one thing I've noticed about these policy folks is they hate to hear from us people who are actually going through these trials and tribulations. And doing this podcast and hearing all of our other guests speak on the same factors that you're pretty much speaking on, Queen, it's just like, why aren't y'all listening to the people who are going through these things? Why are y'all sitting here trying to bring scientific facts? And I mean, and most of the times it does prove what y'all are saying is to be fact.
Exactly. Right. It just confirms it. Right.
Yeah.
It confirms what y'all have been saying forever. And
yes, absolutely.
Before we move on, I do want to hear, I did a little research about some of the projects that y'all are working on and everything. And I read about SALT or S-A-L-T for salt.
Yeah.
Could you please tell us more about that?
Yeah, so you read my blog at GullahGeecheeNation.com, which SALT stands for Saving a Low Country Treasure. So Tanky, I hope you are a follower, not just a reader. Please go ahead and subscribe to the blog. And so that website keeps people informed of the numerous things we're working on here, including the fact that we are not only doing the Greening Gullah Geechee Communities Project that I mentioned, but part of that project is also working in collaboration with Pew Charitable Trust, SERPASS, which is an amalgamation of numerous parts of what I call the government alphabet soup, including the Department of Defense, to actually make areas along the Southeast more resilient through us protecting and restoring 1 million acres of salt marsh in the Southeast. And so I've said to people that, you know, SALT, I made it an acronym because the salt water is what surrounds us, but also dealing with what we call SASME, marshing forward together. So marshforward.org shows this plan that we've worked on for the past 2 years with this 300 member coalition of folks who are from North Carolina down to Florida working together on a variety of things. So it now brings the scientists in with the cultural community leaders. It brings the environmentalists in with them as well. It brings in the military. It's important to the military to have resilient bases that are here along the coast. We have a plethora of military installations throughout the Gullah Geechee Nation. And so it has brought together, like they say, politics makes strange bedfellows, they often say. Well, this time politics is making strange boat fellows, because we're all in the same boat together. We are rowing together in the same direction. And God willing, we will get many more people at the state and the federal levels to row along with us to make sure that we restore those and then protect it going forward through green infrastructure. And so it's very important to us, the SASME initiative, the South Atlantic Salt Marsh Initiative, as well as Southeast Atlantic Salt Marsh Initiative, as well as the Greening Gullah Geechee Communities Initiative. So this all just continues to build on work that I've done for decades now through Gullah Geechee C and Me, where C stands for Saving Environmental Actions, and ME stands for the marine environment. So this just continues it. And this is really my life, like I say, because to be Gullah Geechee means to be of the sea and to be about the water. That is what it is for us. And so like we say, we the vineyard, we in a gwine with tall tall. So we will be that tree planted by the rivers of water. We shall not be moved.
Yes, Miss Queen. Yes. I know that's right. We shall not be moved. I love it. I kind of want to move into a different question. It kind of follows along the same line. So we know that your ancestors have taught you and passed down to many generations, creative solutions that adapt to climate crisis. And like you're showing us, you're telling us that today. What are some of the lessons that your ancestors have taught you that you want to share with us, and how are you implementing them and sharing them to the rest of the world?
Well, both ancestors and elders, because I hear people nowadays use the word ancestors a lot, and then they end up talking about living people. Let's be very clear that your ancestors are not alive, but your elders are. And so what is it that your elders have or will pass on to you? You can only find out when you literally do what we do, sit on the porch with them, sit at their feet. See, hold on, as we used to say, to the apron string, but not too many people wearing aprons like me still these days, to learn these things. But I was able to do that from many that are ancestors now. And fortunately, my mother is still here with us, who is a major elder traditions keeper in the Gullah Geechee Nation. So we learned that you take what you need for today and you leave some for tomorrow. You don't need to do what I learned, this terminology down in Texas called derby fishing. You don't go out to the water and try to bottom out the ocean when you go. You go ahead and get enough that you and your family, if I have something for Nampun today, anything like that, so you can eat today. For your family, nurture your soul, your spirit, your body today, and leave something for the next ones coming along. And so that's critical. What I have grown to know and to pass on is to also live in balance, that everything in the universe, the way God established it, has balance. You see, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction along the same line. So I often teach about momentum. I teach about being in a circle, that if you are in the circle, whatever you put out into that circle comes back around. I mentioned earlier a basin. Picture a basin as a bowl if you don't know what the word basin is. That again is a circular object. What do you think happens if you put something into that bowl and then you also drink it? So if you think about that, you wouldn't want to put poison into that bowl. You would want to put love and peace and blessings and enrichment and healing into that basin, into that bowl, into that circle. Because eventually that thing comes back round to you in the circle. It comes back to you. And that's how we live here in the Gullah Geechee Nation, in family compounds, in a circular way, and such that everything we know, every decision we make is going to eventually affect the whole, which means you're part of the whole. So what will you do? What will you put out there? And my ancestors taught us that, you know, no man or woman is an island. So I teach the children what they taught me. That you are from an island, but you are not an island, which means you're going to need somebody else at some point. So you want to also be the person that when you are gone and you are an ancestor, somebody says that you left them something that was of value, that was uplifting, that was positive, that was healing, that you can grow from, that you can build on, that if it is the waters, that you can sail on and float through, and that you can be healed and nourished too.
You can't see me right now, but I've just been kind of thrown back into my chair. I have chills. Thank you.
I saw that you said you had chills. I did see that.
Yeah, I've had to put it in the chat because you gave me chills. And you actually just gave me a lot of hope. And I would love to close this out by asking if there's anything else you want to say, or if you want to discuss what gives you hope, because that's usually how we end this podcast. I'm going to pass it to you, but this space is yours. Do with it as you will.
The question, what gives me hope? I've been asked that many times. And I always let people know I'm a spiritual person. I'm a woman of faith. So the fact that I know that God made it such that only the strongest of African people made it through the Middle Passage, through these waters that I often go to the shoreline and look across and can feel their power and their energy coming to me with every wave that hits the shoreline beneath my feet. The fact that they made it across the Middle Passage, made it through bondage, made it through the Reconstruction, the Civil War, and then the Reconstruction era, made it through the Jim Crow attacks on their person, all the way back when people didn't even want to say they were full human beings. We're calling them 3/5 human beings. And as a mathematician, I always ask, well, then what was the other 2/5? Because it takes all of it for you to be whole. 5/5 would be the 1. And we have to come together in that oneness. And when I meet other people of spirit, other people of passion about the work for the oceans and our waters and our lands, it gives me hope the same way that I know my ancestors had that hope and those bush arbors and those brush arbors of the maritime forest, that they are there even now amongst the ghost forests, not as ghosts, but as spirits that are still shouting, that are still bringing their power and their energy to us in the circle, so that we have the hope and desire to go forward into the future, to fight now for our future generations the way they fought for us. So that's why every day I'm willing to put my life on the line, because there's a lot of controversy behind the work that I do to try to create a space and keep that space for Black people, for Indigenous people, for us to be safe in and for us to own. And so there are many people who would want to turn back the hands of time and re-enslave us. But as long as we say, hey, if you want to think free, you want to be free. As long as your soul is free and your mind is free, that gives me the hope that you can hear the drums. You can hear us gathering in the circle and drawing others into the coast to gather with us like we've gathered here today. And we hope then that we give you that power and that energy, because I know that if my ancestors could make it through all that they did, that we can make it, because we have it a lot easier than they did. We just need to respect that, appreciate that, give thanks for that, and gather together on these shorelines with one another to live in a righteous way. So every day, that's my prayer. And that also is my work, because you got to get up off your knees after praying and get to work, because faith without works is dead. And so I want that when I go into the realm of the ancestors to know that my work and my living is not in vain. We often hear here that the water to bring we, the water going to take we back. So I'm so glad that the water that make we flow together this year day, Panisha. Story, for we crack we teeth together, Abby and Marisha, for the other rest of children, for Yeti we that talk about who we be down here, that we be Gullah Geechee anointed people. Thank you, God bless all of the children.